Today the verse comes from John 15:4-6. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Some branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rose. Well, it was good having United Women in Faith up here today and sharing some things. Next week, we'll hear from the United Methodist Men. And they'll be here with us next week, and look forward to that conversation. Also, you know, I don't do this very often. I do want to welcome those of you who are watching online today, and thank you for being here, being a part of worship, and for connecting with the body of Christ in this way. It's kind of interesting. We generally have at least 40 people online that we're able to record each week. And so it may be in homes where they're are actually more than one person watching, and so could be another 60 to 80 people who are online, and, you know, doesn't quite double the room, but it three quarters, and so we're just thankful to have those folks with us as well. You know, I've shared that I'm in a pastor's network called the Next Level Pastors Relationship Network. I've talked about that before. It's an interdenominational network of established church pastors, but also what we call church plant pastors, and those are pastors who are starting new churches from the ground up. The guy who started it, the Next Level Relationship Network, he was a church planter himself and started his church in Florida. It's a great place to visit. You know, who doesn't like visiting Florida? So we sometimes head up there for kind of networking opportunities. He just has a real heart for teaching, and so the thing that I loved about it is he'll offer a monthly teaching, and so we kind of connect on Zoom and get to listen to that teaching and learn from that as pastors, which is really helpful. But also, he's just focused on pastoral health. Like, he knows, it's kind of interesting, actually, you know, when we begin to separate ourselves out, we lose connection, and when we lose connection, it can be tough on our mental health, and so our connection is very vital, very important, and so he's created this network for pastors. The other thing I love about it is for pastors' wives, too, and so Kim's able to kind of connect in there because they're worried about both pastor and spouse. In that. So it's a great opportunity. I meet with my group once a month on Zoom. We all kind of connect, all these different pastors. The guy who leads my group, he's a church plant pastor in Lansing, Michigan, which is much colder than here. So, you know, when we start to go, oh, it's so cold. Well, it gets colder. Just move to Lansing, Michigan. But the past couple of months, when he's been leading us in our Zoom meetings, he's used a phrase that has kind of caught my attention, because he's used it a number of times. And he'll say, well, pastors, keep abiding, not striving. Keep abiding, not striving. And so finally, after hearing it a couple of times, I kind of called him out for it. And I'm like, what do you mean by keep abiding, not striving? Like, I've heard you say that a couple of times now. It sounds familiar. What do you mean by that? And he says, well, keep abiding, not striving. Keep spending time with God, and he'll just lead you through the challenges of life. Like, let him do the hard work. Oh, okay. So he quoted John, he said, John 15, right? John 15. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So, that saying bothered me a little bit, right? Stop striving. That bothered me a little bit because I spent a lot of time trying to hopefully do things well, right? Kind of striving after those things. I kind of subscribe to the work hard, be smart kind of philosophy of life. You do those two things. I feel like I've strived after a lot of things in life. I do have to confess that sometimes when I get really caught up in my striving, it becomes kind of an anxious business for me. Sometimes my striving comes with a certain amount of anxiousness. Sometimes I'm striving more out of my fear of failure than I am maybe my love for the church, my love for other people. So I got to kind of check that internally. But I have. I've really tried to learn all I can in life to do well in church and in my personal life. So I had this conversation in this group, right? About 2 or 3 weeks passes. I'm on my online pastor's coaching call, right? So I've got this professional coach that I work with. His name's Roger Ross. Roger was a director in our Missouri conference for many years until last June. And then he stepped away from the conference office, from being a director. And now he's with a church leadership consulting group, where he does coaching, but then does other things as well. Once again, like another thing I try to do to strive towards excellence in my life. And when we talked, we spent most of our time talking about our new contemporary worship service, you know, the steps we're kind of taking to get it going, and what that will look like over the next kind of seven, eight months to kind of get that going. And I got to tell you, anytime I do something new, right? And there's a reason. Like, we love consistency. We love to do the things that we've done that have worked. And we feel good. We can feel confident. We do something new, then sometimes we get kind of fearful of stepping out and doing something new. And so during this coaching session, went on a little bit of a tangent about all the things I thought could go wrong as we try to launch this. All the different roadblocks, you know, what if this, what if that. So Roger stops me and he says, "Jim," he goes, "you sound a little worried right now about what you're going to do." And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, this is what I pay you for? To tell me I sound worried right now? Well, that's why I have a coach. I don't say that, though. So he says, "Look, I've got a very important homework assignment for you. I want you to do something. I don't always prescribe homework. You've got homework." He goes, "I want you to read and meditate before the next time we meet on John chapter 15. And I immediately knew. I said, "John 15, you mean the whole 'I am the vine, you're the branches, abide in me,' yada, 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 yada." That's a Seinfeld quote, right? Just threw that in. And he says, "Yes, that's the one. That's the one. I want you to read that and meditate on it." He says, "Because the one who abides in Christ doesn't need to worry. He just needs to ask, and it will be given if you're connected into the vine." I don't know about you all. I just like to worry about things. I want to get ahead of the ball. The best way to get ahead of the ball is by worrying, right? And sometimes it is my worrying that fuels my striving. And yet, my striving can be an anxious thing. It can be kind of anxiety-producing to strive all the time, which, you know, can damage relationships when you're anxiously striving after something. It can mess with your well-being. It messes with my sleep when I get too caught up in anxiously striving. It can keep me from, like, seeing the people that are in front of me, from what's going on in their lives and where I might be needed there, because I'm anxiously striving after this thing. I'm so hot in the pursuit that I miss people. And so God, in his beautiful, perfect timing, has put this passage in front of me kind of quite a few times here lately. just kind of falling in front of me, and falling in front of me with like a baseball bat of conviction too, like, you know, just kind of coming around on me. So let me ask y'all a question. Can you connect with what I'm saying? Do you find that you too, you kind of anxiously strive, anxiously worry, focus on that a lot? You maybe have strived for some things in your own life, and striven, and is striven a word? Striven and striven, right? It is a word. Thank you. So, my wife calls me. I make these things up sometimes. She's like, I don't think that's actually a word. You can't, I don't know. And sometimes we do this in our faith life, right? In our faith, you know, we work really hard. And the pastor stands up here and says things about Scripture and life. And we're like, yes, yeah, I want to be that. I can do that. You know, I'm going to do that, Pastor. And maybe it's not faith, maybe it's not church, maybe it's something at work. Like at work, you strive and you strive. You want to do well in that place. Maybe it's with a loved one or a friend. You're just striving so hard to bring balance or some peace into this relationship, and you're striving after it hard. Or maybe it's a health concern. You got this health thing, and so you're just working really hard. You're striving, trying to figure out how to make it better. I don't, like, it's a million things in life, right? Like a million different things we can strive and feel anxious about in our pursuit of something. But what I'm beginning to recognize and experience is that there seems to be a lot of benefit to being a Spirit-filled Christian, to letting the Spirit of God just come into you and to abide there, letting go of anxious striving, all the worrying, and instead learn to lovingly abide in Christ and to practice the peace of His presence with us. I mean, it's usually what I'm trying to do on Sunday morning before I stand up here. I'm trying to practice that peaceful abiding of Christ within me. And when I'm abiding in Christ, here's what I've noticed when I'm able to do this. I notice that suddenly doors begin to open for me. And they begin to open for us as a church when I'm abiding. I notice that sometimes new opportunities are placed before me. They're not exactly like maybe what I was striving for, but they're still this really good thing, this godly thing that maybe if I was striving so hard, I'd just say no to. But when I'm in faith, when I'm in the Spirit, like I see it, maybe it's a word of direction quietly whispered by the Spirit of God in prayer, in life. Or maybe it's even somebody, you know, it's kind of like these two places where I'm the vine, you are the branches. I'm like, okay, God, I think I'm starting to hear you, right? It's a better way to be and not just do. It's not a better way to do. It's a better way to be abiding, not striving. Since I've spent a little bit of time here lately in John chapter 15, I want us to take a look closer at just a handful of words that are in this passage, just some of the words together. And these words are life-giving words. They're going to help us stop, hopefully, our anxious striving and learn instead to lovingly abide. So let's start with that word abide, shall we? In our NIV text, New International Version, the word is actually remain. Is what was read to us. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. Other versions use the word abide. It's probably the more literal translation. And so in our five passages that Rose read for us, Rose said the word remain 8 times, right? 8 times that word came up. In the original Greek language, the word is pronounced for that word, it's meno. Menno. Menno means to, and like a minnow that you catch to catch bigger fish, right? Sounds something like that. Menno. And menno means, you can translate it to remain, to abide, to dwell, or to live. To remain in the same place over time. And so Jesus is saying, think of me like a house. Think of me like a house. And if I'm a house, then move into my house. Move into me and don't just come visit every once in a while. Actually, I want you to take up residency in me and really get to know me and the words that I speak and the teachings that I have. And Don't just come into this house on Sunday and hear some of the words. Try living into these words Monday through Saturday too. Let my teaching be the framework for your life. Let it be that. And this is sometimes, I think, the confusion about Christianity. When you're standing on the outside and kind of looking in, sometimes the Christian life, that's too hard. It's too hard to be a Christian. It's hard to try to do all the things right and to do all the good things. It's hard. They're going to church every Sunday, and you got to smile at everybody, you know, and maybe shake hands and act like you get along and do all that, right? But Christianity isn't just about occasionally showing up at church and trying to be good enough. That's not what we're doing here. Christianity is about entering into a process that shapes us, that shapes who we are. And the process is worship. It's being here Sunday morning, so great job. You're on the right track. But it's also scripture reading and prayer and giving and the service that we do for others, how we love and care for others. And so if you enter into the process, then Christ will enter into you as a part of the process. And through the process, Christ will begin to bear good fruit in your life. Most of the time, the hard part is remaining in the process. That's what we need to be focusing on, is remaining in the process. And if you remain in the process, then you'll have the fruit. But sometimes we get frustrated with the process. It's sometimes a hard process, and we get focused on the wrong things. And so we decide we're just going to leave the process. I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm just tired of it. I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to read Scripture anymore. You know, I it's hard for me to connect with Scripture. I'm not going to pray anymore. I don't know if it does anything, so I'm not going to do it, except when I really need it, when things are really dire. Then I'm going to pray. I'm going to get back good with God. I'm going to tell him I'm even going to go to church if this thing happens in my life, right? I'm going to get good. Jesus says, just don't leave me. Just don't leave me. Whatever you do, don't leave. Don't leave this process. You got to trust me. It's doing something in your life. John Calvin was the father of the Presbyterian Church in the same way that John Wesley was father to Methodism, right? Before there was Presbyterian Church, there was John Calvin. Someone was later able to summarize his primary doctrines into an acronym that would become the theological foundation of the Presbyterian Church, the old Presbyterian Church. And the acronym is called TULIP. It's TULIP, just like the tulips, the flowers. That's the acronym. I'm not going to go through all the T-U-L-I, but I want to talk about the P for just a second. Because the P stands for perseverance of the saints. Perseverance of the saints. And so John Calvin believed knowing, right? And so there's always this question of, well, I got baptized, and then we don't see anymore, right? And sometimes that happens. And so something's really important to people, you know, how do we know somebody's saved, or when were they saved? And so John Calvin says you can know if salvation is truly been placed in someone because they will persevere in their faith to the end. Perseverance of the saints. Those who make him their home in life, he will make them his home into eternity, right? Into the next life. Abide in Christ, and he will make you fruitful. He will begin a fruitful process that is here and continues with you into eternity. So that's about that first part. The next two words, right? The next two words I want to talk about together are the words vine and branch, because that's his metaphor, is vine and branch. And Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branch. A literal translation would be more like grape vine and grape branches, is what he's referring to. And so in the New International Version, it's not ever mentioned. It doesn't say grape vine, but that's what Jesus is referring to. He's referring to grapes. And so the Greek word for vine is ampelos, and branch is klema. You know, like the clay you mold, klema. the vine in a vineyard is primarily that vein that runs up from the ground, that big brown thing you see there, and then branches out into the trellis. And the trellis is the support for the vine that allows it to grow the branches that hang out over the trellis, right? So they kind of hang there. And the branches bear the fruit. They create the fruit. The fruit comes out of the branch, and that fruit is grapes. The vine doesn't grow fruit. The branches grow the fruit. And so the vine provides nutrients and supports the branches that creates the fruit. Now, I happen to be a pastor years ago in a church where I had a vineyard owner and a winery gentleman in my church. And one day, I went over and visited the place where he made all of his wine, where the big machinery was and the vats and the barrels and where it aged. And he explained to me the process of buying land and creating grapes and turning those grapes into wine. And the explanation, his explanation of that actually became like my go-to sermon in weddings. Because when I was in Weston, I did so many weddings because they had bed and breakfasts. Everybody loved to come in and get married there. And so I needed kind of a quick go-to sermon. And so this explanation became my sermon. Because after all, a great marriage is a lot like making a great bottle of wine. That was my lead-in. It's catchy, right? Yeah. Just marriage, just like making a great bottle of wine. Now, here's a secret to a great bottle of wine that we should all know. Is mature, seasoned grapes from healthy vines. That's what you got to have. Now, there's a great way to ruin your vines. There's a great way to make sure that your grapes don't have good flavor to them the next year. And that is, don't prune the branches back at the end of the season when you've taken the grapes off. Just let it keep growing and growing and growing. It's cutting the old branches off and cutting them back at the end of the bearing fruit season. And then at the beginning of the new season, minimizing all the little sprouts that create branches. That's what you have to do in order to create healthy grapes, good tasting grapes. So, Jesus is doing some good stuff through us, through you, through me. And when we stick with the process, then we're provided what we need in order to grow in Him. And we are His branch through which He produces good fruit. Now, sometimes we make the mistake as Christians, we get caught up in producing fruit in that process. We just, how do they produce fruit? I want to produce great fruit. But that's the wrong focus. It's the wrong focus. Focus on staying connected to the vine. Focus on the vine. Then be ready for some trimming, right? The trimming. Now, here's what you and I know. Trimming, pruning back hurts a little, doesn't it? That can hurt sometimes. But there's stuff in our lives that doesn't honor God. It just doesn't. And so that's the maturity process in life, in our faith. God's going to do some trimming. He's going to trim that stuff back. And sometimes we don't like when God picks up the pruning shears, right? We get a little panicky. And that's why the vineyard illustration is my wedding sermon. It's my marriage sermon. Marriage is an opportunity to do some trimming in our lives, right? And sometimes we're not ready for trimming. We don't want pruning in our lives. And we definitely don't like it when our spouse picks up the pruning shears and comes at us with those pruning shears. And I think many a good marriage has ended, you know, because somebody else picked up the pruning shears and we didn't like it. And I got to tell you, with God, with our faith, I don't know that it's all that much different. I think it's actually very similar. Sometimes we just don't like it. But don't say I didn't warn you now. You're the branch, He's the vine. Branches get pruned. That's a part of the process of maturity in faith. Last word we'll pay attention to is the word fruit. We've talked about fruit a lot. As I said earlier, the fruit Jesus is referring to is grapes. He's talking about grapes. Grapes are most popular in Jesus' day because you could make wine out of it. And in the wine process, there's a fermenting process. The fermenting kills all the bacteria and then keeps it dead. And so it's fantastic because you can store it for a long time and bring it out, and they didn't have to worry about bacteria and viruses. And actually, wine's something that the longer you store it, the better it gets. And so it was just safe to drink it, and it tasted better with age. The Greek word for fruit here in our text is karpos. Carp, like the fish that swims around that you really don't want to eat. Karpos, right, is the grape word, the fruit word. And so abiding in Jesus will bring about karpos, or fruit, in our lives if you abide in him. Fruit's great. It's great. Now, I have not eaten much fruit in the past couple months as I've kind of on a sugar-restricted diet, but fruit is nature's candy. It's just enjoyable to eat. It's sweet. And so when grapes are made into wine, that's like another level of enjoyment, right? Because it's now wine. And it's sweet as well, right? So it's interesting, the very first miracle Jesus ever performed was turning water into wine for a wedding. And his mom made him do it. Didn't want to disappoint mama. You know, there are many other examples. There are many other, like trees and plants, right? Trees and plants. Many other trees or plants Jesus could have chose for this example. He could have said, I want you to be like shade trees that have vast canopies that keep people, you know, cool and sheltered. He could have said, I want you to be like a vine plant that creates better rock and soil retention. He could have said, I want you to be a beautiful tree. One that blossoms and then has flowers and people walk by and just enjoy the beauty of that tree. But he chose none of those. He chose a plant that bears edible fruit that you can eat. That's what he desires to do with us, to do in our lives. He wants us to be people who provide something of substance to those who encounter us. Sometimes we get hung up on wanting to look good. I think I need to be a plant that looks good, right? We want others to see us and be impressed by what they see and who they see. And so we worry, we become anxious because perhaps we're afraid that somebody's not talking about us well. And we want people to talk well about us. And if I remember correctly, people didn't always talk well about Jesus, did they? And yet he didn't spend a lot of time trying to do public relations management. He didn't get out there and try to dispel all that. Instead, he did what the Father asked him to do. He did the Father's work because the Father is in him and we are in Christ. And so that was his focus. I think it should be our focus as well to not get hung up on the image of things. You are the branch. Jesus is the vine. And if you abide in him, then he will abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. But apart from him, you can do nothing. So the take home, right? What are we getting at? How much time are you spending with Jesus? Worship, this is part of it. Great, fantastic. First step, scripture and prayer and service. Considering God's direction in your life, letting his voice whisper to you. I just want to say, stick with it. Don't give up. You know, we would say, keep up the good fight. And it's hard sometimes. It is. And sometimes you feel like you messed up pretty badly, right? I mean, there are probably people who didn't come today because, like, deep inside, it's like, I don't know that I'm worthy. I feel like I've messed up a lot. And I see people not do communion for that reason. It's like, I don't know, I'm probably not worthy of communion. But that's not true. That's not the case. Friends, this whole being the church thing can be hard. It's hard, and it's easy to get hurt. We get our feelings hurt by other people. Sometimes we feel left out, and when we feel left out, that's beginning that isolation stage. that's hurtful for us? And really, what's healthy for us is connection to one another and feeling connected. So keep focused on growing with Christ. Keep focused on that relationship. And if you surrender to Him, if you stay plugged into the process, He's going to bear fruit in your life. It's going to happen. Last week, we had the board up here, right? All of our board leaders, they came up here. We talked about our goals for this coming year. We had 5 goals. We had a meeting back in November, right, where we talked about what our goals were, prayerfully considered. What should our goals be for our church in the next year? One of the first things I told them at the beginning of that meeting that I believe in, I think it's thoroughly true, is that leadership in a church is really an opportunity to follow Jesus more closely, to be His disciple, to learn to be grounded in Him. Friends, all the things we're preparing to do, all of our goals as a board, anything else we're trying to do here in church, if we do them without our own relationship in Jesus Christ, being grounded, being firm, we won't achieve them. This won't happen because we're not connected to the vine. And so, just to kind of wrap up, just remember that. Just keep that in mind. All the church stuff we do, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Showing up to worship, for those that are watching online, taking a step there. All the different groups, the Sunday school classes, the small groups, the Wednesday study classes, your financial gifts, the things you give to the church, the things you give to other organizations, our luncheons, like the luncheon we'll have after church today, right? Our administrative meetings, the work we do in kids ministry, the work we do in youth ministry. Whatever is in our church and in our lives that is not grounded in knowing and loving Jesus Christ, it needs to be pruned. It needs to be trimmed, or it will slowly wither and die if it doesn't serve Christ. But when we focus on the life-giving relationship with the Son of God, we bear fruit and great things begin to happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for this day. Lord, help us be grounded in You. You are the vine, we're the branches. You had many teachings that were hard, and people left You because of that, Jesus. They would say, well, this teaching's too hard, and so I don't get it, I'm out of here. And yet, Jesus, most people didn't get You at first. It took a long time, the disciples even. It took years and years and years. And so, Lord, help us in our consistency to stay grounded in You, the vine, that we might bear good fruit, a lifetime of good fruit. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn.